when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good whatever, wherever you are in the world, people. You're listening to Blood River Radio. That's right, you're listening to Blood River Radio. They're the only radio station in the United States that I'm aware of that we have sole dedication to fighting against global white genocide, our poster child being South Africa. But you know what? Pretty soon, we're probably going to get to the United States as a poster child, too, because the same globalists are hot on our trail. Tonight, before I go to the prayer, we will have Gene Superstar Andrews on. He had another fan letter today. Doggone, I'm getting jealous, man. After my facelift, my new tuxedo and everything, Gene's still getting all the fan mail. Anyway, people, it is October the 3rd. The year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2020. And guess what happened 2 years ago? Well, actually, it will be 1, 2, 3 on my calendar, 3 more days. 2 years ago, we started Blood River Radio. It was our very first broadcast. This is our kind of like our second anniversary broadcast, but we're not going to make a lot of hoop and holler about it. If we get 5 years, we might do it, but we just thank God that we're able to last that long. It's about to what's been a wing and a prayer, flying by the seat of our pants, but we have made it. But anyway, people, before I go any further, excuse this hack, I want to read one of my favorite psalms. Then I'm going to say a quick prayer. And do not let me forget to say the prayer. This is the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm sure every one of y'all have heard this, but I got to read it again. Not that it doesn't apply all the time. I think it especially applies today with all this going on. Anyway, here we go, folks. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, that's a beautiful, beautiful testament. I'm going to move my King James Bible I've had since the year, right after I was baptized back in 2009. Anyway, at the ripe old age of 2 months before my 62nd birthday. Anyway, people, if you will, bow your heads. We're going to go to a quick prayer. Oh, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, maker of all things unseen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jesus Christ, the God of King David, the God of Eddie Miller and Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio. Lord, if you will, please protect us and let us get through this battle with our enemy. Let us dodge all the arrows that I'm sure Satan is throwing every arrow at us through his quiver that he has. Lord, if you will, protect our president who may have been poisoned. Protect all of us, all of our kinfolks, and Lord, if you will, and all of our friends, if you will, Lord, let us do everything we can to continue to fight Satan, Lord. And any victory we have, oh God, we will surely give you the glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, also, let me see what I got here. I'd like to thank, we have a great donor and a great friend. We'll do get that out of the way first. Not that's out of the way. That's a great chore. He sent a card also and a nice donation. It's Jim in Washington State. And I hope, Gene, are you there, fella? Anyway, this he got this this right here to Gene. Oh, okay, Gene. Well, anyway, I'll read this. We'll bring Gene on. I'm sure Gene will hear this. I'll read. I'll tell him again. I'm gonna get Gene to call this guy. It says, "Dear Eddie, this is September 27th, 2020. Another great show on September 26th. I think the world of Gene Andrews." What about me, man? Oh, who doesn't love Gene? It says, "Please say hi to him for me when you see him next. It was also fun to hear you, James, and Keith together. Your friend, Jim." And let me see. I got a, this card. Listen, let me tell you what. This card has four butterflies on the front of it. Beautiful little butterflies. And at the bottom right-hand corner of the card, it says Elise, E-L-I-S-E. My grandson's friend girl, he's known since almost diapers, is, her name is Elise. On the back of the card, it says, "The University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center." It has a red line drawn through cancer, evidently signifying they want to get rid of cancer. It says, "Making Cancer History." And then it also goes further to say, "Children's Art Project. This card was inspired by the artwork of a pediatric patient at the University of Texas MD Anderson Children's Cancer Hospital. Net proceeds support patients, programs for children with cancer." And again, on the back, it's also signed by Elise. She was 10 years old when she drew this from Woodlands, Texas. Anyway, oh, man, what a card. I love this. You know, people, if you've known me very long, you know I'm a St. Jude hero where I run marathons for St. Jude. I didn't even know they had a Children's Cancer Center down there in Woodlands, Texas there. I didn't know that. Well, anyway, people moving right along. We'll have Gene on in a minute. Last week, we had Oath Keepers on. And the reason I got Oath Keepers on was because I contacted this fellow named Ranger Doug Smith. He was an airborne ranger, fought in several combat areas, several wars. And I really wasn't, I told him we really didn't need Stuart Rhodes on because some of Stuart Rhodes' philosophy doesn't really mesh with Blood River. But what they're doing up there, you can't really fault them at all, because I'll tell you one thing, the Oath Keepers, they have courage, and they put their money where their mouth is. A lot of people say they don't trust Stuart Rhodes. I trust Doug Smith. I've talked to him at length, and he is a real sure enough a ground pounder. And you got to say one thing, they get in the street, and they protect businesses, and they protect lives. You can't take that away from them. I could say some things, if they call it punching to the right, about some of our so-called white organizations, that they could sure use some courage. They could sure use some guts. But I'll tell you what, in our so-called movement, the one thing most missing is raw courage. Oh, we got more dead poets. We got more philosophers. We got more PhDs than you can fill a coliseum with PhDs and dead poet philosophers. But what we don't have is warriors. These guys here are warriors. They really are. Do I disagree with them on race? Yes, I do. I recognize the differences of races. I don't hold anything against other races. I'm glad that they're proud of their race. They have a right to be proud of the race, but we have a right to be proud of our race too. And I love my people more than any other people. I'm white. My children are white. My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, going all the way back to time immemorial, were white. And I'd like to keep it that way. I want my great-grandchildren to be like my grandchildren. I want them to look like me. I want them to think like me. You know, I'm very proud of being in the white race because, you know what, light or not, the white race developed just about everything known in the world that's worth developing. Medicine, agriculture, engineering, art, religion. We've gone over this before. You know, Christendom is pretty much a name given to us even by our enemies. It started in pretty much the northern European countries. Anyway, we'll go on. We're going to skip that. Excuse this hack, y'all. I'm going over here to, where am I? I got through that. Okay, plus Kurt last week. Oh, okay. Dr. Hill may or may not be calling in tonight. he's on the road. We're hoping he can. I gave him the number. If he gets out someplace where he can call in, he's going to call in. Okay, whether or not he calls in or not, me and Gene, we're going to handle, me and Gene Andrews are going to handle the first hour. And we're going to cover a lot of really groundbreaking, well, not groundbreaking, a lot of really critical issues that have a direct bearing on Earth's white, especially on the whole, all the people of the whole world. But especially, I think, on white Christians here in the United States and in Western Europe, because that's who the number one target, that's who they are, that's who they're after. They're after us, folks. And we'll cover more. We'll cover more of that in just a few minutes. The second hour, Lee Cochran's going to call in. I don't know how long he'll be on, one or two segments maybe. He's been studying this vaccine issue, as you well know. He's been he was on about 2 weeks ago. I think Lee did his best segment ever when he was on, I think, 2 weeks ago. In fact, it was one of the best segments of anybody that we've had on. He's going to come on and bring us up to date with all the latest news. Stuff from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I believe, probably Dr. Russell Blaylock, and what is his name? The other guy, I can never remember his name, Dr. Wakefield from England, who's a big vaccine expert. Lee's going to cover all that. Excuse me. Like I said, okay, here's something else. Andrew Wakefield, that's who it is. Anyway, people, we're getting ready to go to a quick break, and I'm going to cover a few more notes. And then we're also going to bring Gene Superstar Andrews on. Be right back.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, I would like to give you the great big humongous thank you for holding on during the break. Like we said in the first of the show, I'm looking up at my trusty calendar. It is October the 3rd in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2020. And, hey, we're going to bring Gene Andrews on. I just got a call from him. He is kind of like one of the head honchos at the Forest Center. I can never, ever remember the name of the little town where that Forest Center is located. Anyway, so what Lee's coming in, he's riding shotgun. What we'll do, we're going to reverse order. Instead of having Gene on the first hour and Lee on the second, we're going to have Lee on the first hour and Gene on the second. If I can just remember that, we'll be in good shape. How you doing tonight, Lee?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Eddie. How y'all doing?
Well, I'm doing mighty good. Sam's doing mighty good. Little Bethany's doing mighty good. That's for sure. You know, me and Sam had to work on this computator. They call it computer, but they pronounce it wrong. It's a computator. But anyway.
Yeah, you're educated. Hey,
yes, you got that right. Don't you forget that either. I got educated degrees after Yang Yang, son. But, you know, hey, before we proceed with the serious stuff, I got to tell people again, our computator, I almost mispronounced the word myself. It is totally destroyed. The other one I had, we put it in the shop, and they charged me $85 to fix it. Well, they fixed it. I got to go pick it up Monday, but it still wouldn't work. So they wanted $250 more. And I said, well, no, I don't want to put that much more money into an old computator. So Sam, you know what he did? Sam and little Ben Bushman, in like 12 hours, from 0 to 60, lickety-split flat, they sent me this brand new computer. Actually, I think it's better than the old one we had. It's called a ThinkPad. And me having a ThinkPad, I don't know how it's going to work. But anyway, it's working great. We had to work on the sound a little bit before we got started on the show tonight. But everything's going great. We know, before we get to your subject tonight, Lee, by the way, I'm sure everybody remembers you, Lee, because your pictures posted on the wall and all the strip joints and all the bars and cities. So I'm sure everybody will know you.
Yeah.
Yeah, in church on once on every Sunday. But listen, I'd just like to make a little announcement.
Okay.
This is our second anniversary today. It really is. Actually, it's the sixth, a couple more days, but it is within 3 days of our second anniversary. But people, I'd like to ask you to pray for our dear friend Bertha Voss in Germany. She's had cancer surgery. She's been having a chemotherapy. It's really taking her down, man. I talked to her the other day, and she's going to try to come on the show, but it's going to be at least, she's probably another 5 to 6 weeks, she said. But I'd like to have so be praying for her. In the same vein of German citizens, I got an email from one of our friends, from Mr. Buddy. It says, where is Ursula Haverbeck? She's 90 years old. She was put into prison in Germany for just questioning the number of Jews that were killed in the so-called Holocaust. That's all it was. And she would not recant. So she was in prison doing about 2 or 3 years term. And supposedly she was released May the 7th, Lee, but no one can find her. No one knows where she is. So, she was 90 years old, man, when they put her in prison.
I don't know. She's still alive.
That's a good question. It'd be nice if some of our people could research that and find out. Well, skipping right along, you know, Lee, I know you stay on top of the bat soup fever and the coronavirus and all that stuff. What do you think about President Trump? I was listening to the news, and this fellow was saying that there was 24 people inside the Washington, I don't know if it was the Rose Garden or the some kind of a room around the White House. I think they usually do it, what they call the Rose Garden, where he announced his appointment for the Supreme Court. You know, and they said 25 of those people that were there, all 25 of the people that have the bat soup fever, they have that in common. They were there at that Rose Garden, and there's, you know, they call it conspiracy bust, but it seems awfully strange. What do you think about that, Lee? Well, give us your opinion on President Trump and his guys having this corona, 1984 virus.
Well, it's possible. I mean, if all of them came down, they could have set up. But it could be legit. But 24 people, they could have sprayed it in the air encourage people to make masks, but.
Lee, that you and I were talking about oh, several days ago, a week ago. By the way, we're supposed to meet again tomorrow, I think at 12:30. But anyway, we were talking about this Fauci. He's some kind of a big, you know, superstar in the scientific community. He works. Well, you may know about him.
He's conflict of interest. He's a mafia. He's almost like a mafia, a medical mafia dude. You can read up on him. You do research on him. He's a conflict of interest. He's been around forever because he does what they tell him to do. You could listen to it. You can listen to InfoWars and Mike Adams and stuff like that. Yeah, and he needs to be in prison. He needs to be charged and arrested.
I call him Fauci the rat.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's been directly connected with that corona, with the Wuhan scientific center over there in China. And they, you know, where it's one of the most high tech. Yes, sure, for sure. But this Wuhan Virus Center is one of the most high tech viral research facilities in the world, they say. He, the scuttlebutt I've got, the news I've got, digging in, you know, researching, Fauci was helped finance the viral projects there, researching different viruses and developing different viruses, including the corona, 1984, I call it. I added the 84 for George Orwell, corona 19. But anyway, COVID-19, 1984. Anyway, he was instrumentally in. They said he actually oversaw. He was going back and forth to China. He oversaw a lot of the.
Oh my God!
So oversaw the research there, and funded it. And guess who one of his main buddies is that helped him do that? It was Bill Gates. And well known. You can find it. Don't take our word for it. Go in there and you research it yourself, people. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates and Fauci stayed in communication multiple times weekly, and they're both in on this. So you're absolutely right. I think the guy should definitely be brought to justice and come to trial. I think Gates and all these people and George Soros. By the way, speaking of George Soros, Lee, I've been following this new, let's see, what's his name? I got it on my card over here somewhere. The Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. He is the archbishop. Not only he's not just the regular archbishop guy. He was the kind of like the secretary of state for the city state of the Vatican. He was instrumental. You know, the Vatican, they have their own little legal system, you know. And mm-hmm. I got my notes here somewhere. Let's see. I'm going on down here. I'm looking. Anyway, he was one of the ones that runs the government of the Vatican. I don't know if most of our listeners probably know, but the Vatican City in Rome, I've been there, by the way, on R&R thousands of years ago. And it's a city-state. It's a small nation. They're not Italy. They're totally autonomous. They're a sovereign little nation. They run their own country. And he was in the state. It's kind of, I compare it to the Department of State, State Department here in the United States. And he, to my knowledge, there was only one position above him that was higher than him. That would be the Pope himself. Well, he wrote another letter to President Trump lately, kind of reiterating the same thing and all the stuff he said in his first letter. We talked about back in June. We talked about the Archbishop in this show in June, and what he was doing, the stuff he was warning against, he brought up, was the fear. He called it fear pornography, fear porn, pedo-Satanism. Oh, get this, homo heresy. People, I hear the music. We got to go take our second break, and we'll be right back. And me and Lee are going to continue on where we are. And Lee's going to bring us some vaccine news. I'll shut up and let Lee talk about the vaccine news. Be right back, people. Hold on to your seats.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
White House physician Dr. Sean Conley updates us on President Trump's condition at Walter Reed Medical Center after the president tested positive for COVID-19.
We are monitoring him very closely for any evidence of complications from either the coronavirus illness or the therapies that we are prescribing to make him better. We have monitored his cardiac function, his kidney function, his liver function, all of those are normal. And the president this morning is not on oxygen, not having difficulty breathing or walking around the White House medical unit upstairs.
A spokesperson confirmed that Vice President Mike Pence and Second Lady Karen Pence were tested Saturday morning for COVID-19 and received negative results. The two also tested negative on Friday. The White House also saying that Pence will host a White House coronavirus task force call at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Three Republican senators say they've tested positive for COVID-19 in the past 24 hours. Senators Tom Tillis, Mike Lee, and Ron Johnson all have received positive test results. The Senate was scheduled to return to Washington on Monday, but now plans to recess until October 19th. The Senate Judiciary Committee is planning on taking up Judge Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination hearing on October 12th. New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton has tested positive for COVID-19. The Patriots game versus the Kansas City Chiefs has now been postponed. When it comes to COVID-19, Republican Governor Scott Walker reminds us.
Every time you get not just the president, but any of them, you mention Cam Newton, anyone else, it stresses just how important it is to be vigilant on this. My wife, Donette, and I, without any government mandate, have been essentially wearing masks out in public since March. She's a type 1 diabetic. We've always been cautious, but anyone should be.
This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, we're right back. We have Mr. Lee Cochran himself in the studios. And instead of me covering these other points that I was going to cover, I'm going to bring Lee on because the main reason we brought Lee on was to talk about the latest developments in this, I call it the medical tyranny, this vaccine scare. What have you found out about the vaccines and the medical tyranny this week, Lee?
Well, let me give you this lady who's come out. Her name is Carrie Madej. She has a YouTube channel that's still up, but she's exposing the vaccine makers and especially Moderna. Moderna lied when they said that their vaccine will not affect your DNA. She said that. And she was saying, if you get the vaccine, the next flu season, everybody will get sick, and they'll blame it on COVID-20, but it will really be the vaccine that's doing it. And it's really, also the standards for these tests are really almost worthless. If 100 people out of 20,000, if it showed that it can sort of beat a moderate case, then it's approved. Like 100 people out of 20,000, and that was on No More Fake News with John Rappaport. So that it's just it's just a scam.
Run that by me again, Lee.
Okay.
Repeat what that about, if you don't about,
mind. Okay. About the Kerry.
Yeah.
About what Kerry was saying. Kerry, she was saying that when COVID-20 comes out this year, everybody will say, well, you need to get another vaccine, but the COVID vaccine will weaken your immune system or cause your immune system to attack itself, and it's really the vaccine will be causing it and not COVID-20 this coming flu season. That's what she was saying, because Moderna, that company, is lying that it will not, they said it won't affect your DNA, but they're lying like most big pharma companies do.
Well, what about those statistics you gave?
That's right. If they can, I learned this yesterday on InfoWars. 100. If a vaccine can supposedly improve 100 mild cases out of 20,000 people, that's not even 1%. I don't think.
That's what I thought you said.
It's not only 1%. Yeah, so that's from John Rappaport's site, No More Fake News. So it's just about worthless.
Well,
go ahead, Eddie.
With that few, something like, would you say 200 out of what, 20,000? I mean, how could they prove that the vaccine even help to make the cases more mild? That's ludicrous. There's no way on earth you could prove that with that small a sample. You know, something else I heard, Lee, you may have heard it before. I don't want to interrupt you. I'm going to make this comment
ahead,
and
go
you can
ahead.
Go back to what you're... You know, MGO corn and wheat, for instance, one of the reasons I've read that the honeybee population has died off, so you can't hardly find a honeybee here in the South anymore. We you couldn't go out in the yard without stepping on a honeybee barefoot and get stung when I was a kid. You never see honeybees anymore. Here's what I've heard. You know, with all the MGO produce we have now, we have seedless grapes. We have the super corn, the super wheat. Well, one of the things that the genetic engineers have done, they have developed products, you know, corn and wheat, et cetera, that produces a natural insecticide. They say that just about all plants will produce a small amount of naturally occurring insecticide that discourages insects from feeding on them, from preying on the particular plants and its fruit. But what they've done, they've genetically modified a lot of these crops to where they produce a lot, 10, 100, 50, you know, 500 times more of the naturally occurring insecticide. And that insecticide has been killing off the bees. That's what I've heard. So and I was going to relate this to this genetic engineering vaccine.
Yes.
Because the reason I say genetic engineering is it will, there's some people are saying that one of the implications of this vaccine, it actually reprograms the human cellular structure just like the MGO corn. And instead of the vaccine itself just stimulating a normal immune response like the old vaccine is supposed to do, it actually supposedly programs the cellular structure, the basophils, the granulocytes, the monocytes, et cetera, going back to my old physiology days. And then your cells will actually produce this stuff. And that's where that comes into that genetic modifying of human genome. So what do you think about that, Lee?
That's right.
Right or wrong.
Kerry, you're right. Kerry Madjay, she talked about that in this video I was watching an hour ago with Mike Adams. You could get it, see it on his site. It's called Brighteon.com, or you could see it on his. And but you're right that you'll be a genetically modified human being, and the part that's modified, the company will own your DNA. I mean, this artificial. Just as long as it's artificial, a company can own your DNA. That's enslavement, Eddie.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because, I've also read, Lee, and heard that, for instance, you have a small farmer, say he has a 400-acre field. And that's a small farm nowadays out in, like, the Kansas where they have thousands of acre fields. If a farmer, say, for instance, Monsanto, say if they have a 20,000 acres of wheat and corn out there in this GMO, and some of the seeds, some of the pollen flies over to this other farmer's field, and it starts growing their GMO stuff in his field that wasn't even planted intentionally, they can claim that. They can claim his land. They can sue him under certain circumstances because he's growing that GMO stuff. But that's a great thing. Well, you know, Lee, you know what concerns me more than anything is the so-called forced vaccination. Now, I've sent some stuff to some of my friends. I've been defriended by just about everybody here in Memphis now, people I used to know with breakaway running and stuff for the St. Jude Heroes. And I sent some stuff to them. It they're beyond help. I got to say, get this, people, this is true. I'm going to run this by Lee. In Australia, those Aussies, I can't stand the Aussies. When when I was in the military, you know, the Aussies when we were in the bush, they were talking about, how bad they were, how badass soldiers they were. Well, you know what? They're the first ones to lay down their guns, and right now they're dropping their pants, too. And if they don't drop their pants, I saw this, and I don't want to be too vulgar, but they've passed legislation in Australia. The government, if you refuse the vaccination, you fight them. They can literally forcibly remove your underwear and give you the injection anyway. I invite you people to look it up. I think I might have sent one of those articles to you, Lee. I'm not sure. But, Lee, are we coming? Are we going to have a medical tyranny? Or do we have – this is what concerns me. Are we going to have a medical tyranny where uniformed officers, police – Army, what have you, are they going to come to the door and if we don't get, if we say, hell no, we're not going to take the vaccine, or are they going to force us at gunpoint to take this vaccine, Lee? What have you heard about that?
Yes, and then we'll have to blow their heads off if they do that. I'm not suggesting that, but only in self-defense, because our governor in Tennessee has the power to enforce that, and that's what this other organization called Tennessee Stands. TennesseeStands.org, and you're trying to stand up to the governor's executive orders by using the House of people to put a check and balance on him. Right now, they're doing it with masks. You know, they're suing the governor personally to stop this mask issue, but the big issue is going to be the vaccines when they start. You know, dealing it, the vaccine pushers come out, and we need to sue the employers personally if they force you to take a vaccine to save your job, which a lot of them will do. We need to sue them personally. We need some lawyers here because this is an experimental vaccine. It hurt all the animals it tried, so that's why they're skipping the animal trials.
Anyway, Lee,
we
got to take a quick break, Lee. We'll be right back after this break. Be right back, people. Hang on your seats. Be right back.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust. and who the true covenant people of God are and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the courts of divine justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
People, thank you for holding on. We're going to go. I'm going to make one quick comment, and we're going to go right back to Lee. Lee, he's in a lot of organizations. I used to be a member of the Campaign for Liberty, which was an organization started by Ron Paul. Guy Lee, back our radio station, let's see, TPC was real young when Ron Paul was running for president. But anyway, if I'm not mistaken, Ron Paul started an organization, Campaign for Liberty. I used to be a member of it. And I think, Lee, didn't y'all have a meeting last week about this very issue you're talking about in the governor of the state of Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee stands. We had a good meeting. He's trying to drum up support because the Tennessee Constitution on this issue is one of the best in the nation. It says you have an obligation to resist oppression. You can't look the other way. You can't, you know, duck your head. You got to face it head on, and that's in our Tennessee Bill of Rights Constitution. It's called the Declarations of Right, Eddie.
Go ahead, Eddie.
Well, I'm just saying, Tennessee is one of the best constitutions when it comes to fighting oppression because it's written in the Constitution of Tennessee.
You know, and, go ahead, Lee.
No, I'm just saying also, Oath Keepers got an organization called Defend America Now. I know you had Stuart Rhodes on a week or so ago, but it's called Defend America Now, and they will help you set up a local force in your neighborhood to help defend your constitutional rights. And also, we need to educate the sheriff. Some sheriffs don't really know what's going on. I think our sheriff here in Shelby County needs some help educating. But he can defend us from this. It's really illegal to force an experimental vaccine on anybody. That's a Nazi war crime. It's against the Nuremberg Code and a whole bunch of other things. And so, you know, he can help at a local street level and at a neighborhood level and at a county level. It's on his website, Oath Keepers website, the Defend America Now. Defend America Now, Eddie.
I got you. You know, I got to ask you a question, something you and I have talked about here, because like people, you know, Lee Cochran and I, we were two of the founding members of Oath Keepers here in Shelby County and years ago, and Lee and I, we started seeing red flags pop up, you know, and I'm going to ask, you know, we got infiltrated. Of course, our chapter has been defunct. You know, I think Oath Keep. I'm going to ask Lee, and Lee, when I'm speaking, this is kind of like a question to you. Our chapter of Oath Keepers here in Memphis, Tennessee, for the first year was rock solid. We were all patriots. Most of us were ex or current military and or police, and they would also accept first responders. I think just about any volunteer can get in now. But, you know, Lee and I started seeing people come in that were of questionable character. They started having nothing against women, but women on crutches, you know, and all they wanted to do was show videos and movies and stuff. But originally, our chapter was rock solid. But that's a lot like other organizations, too. That's a lot like the police departments in major cities. If you go and you find the ground pounders, the guys, the you know, that are driving the black and whites, that are going into the bad neighborhoods, that are saving lives and stuff, they're, most of them are rock solid. But once you get up into the hierarchy, they're politicians, and they can't be trusted. Lee, what do you think about Stuart Rhodes? What have you heard about him? Do you trust him?
Well, I know he's trying to do a good job. Well, I don't really trust him because he has some character issues. I know it'll make people mad, but we had a committee for safety, and he wouldn't give us credit, and he would give Dr. Rivera credit, but he wouldn't give the Oath Keepers credit. I mean, not Oath Keepers, the committee for safety. And we talked. He would say he would do something for the committee of safety, and then he would never do it. So that's why I got a bad taste in my mouth about Stuart Rhodes. Maybe he has reformed now, but as you notice, he doesn't. He could easily call his staff committee, you know, committees of safety at the local and county level. But he could be an operative. He was saying you couldn't talk about conspiracies on the Oath Keepers website or anything like that. But you know, maybe he is reformed. I'm sure he's done a lot of good things. But I'm not. You know, we were complaining about him. DV Kid, Dr. Rivera, who wrote the book, and me, and Walter Reedy. But I hope he can learn Reedy. This to try to do better. Yeah, Walter Reedy.
Now Walter Reedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he kind of double cross Walter Reedy?
Yeah, that's what Stuart I was saying. Rose. Yeah, he did. He took all our ideas and didn't give us any credit for it. But I'm sure this. Oh, so, you're just sour grapes. But I'm just telling you how I see it.
Well, so more seriously than that.
Yeah.
You know. I'm sorry, Lee. A more serious charge would be this.
Eddie.
Do you think?
Go ahead,
I mean,
Eddie.
Have you heard any evidence? Have you heard any credible evidence that Stuart Rhodes might have been playing both sides? Might have been working with our enemy, with the establishment? Like you said a minute ago, you hinted that it might be. Or you think maybe he could be an operative, a double agent, so to speak. Have you seen any credible evidence that would shed light on that, Lee? That would point to that direction.
Well, not really so concrete, you know, but you know, I think he started an organization so that he could always be, but you know, he could always, you know, when you start something, you know, it's like the controlled opposition, which I think, you know, I hate to say this, I think Alex Jones is a little bit of controlled opposition, but we need him now because he's fighting against vaccines. So you don't know what's going on. That's just my opinion. I don't have any, you know, solid evidence. But I think people need to investigate that and just decide for yourself.
Well, you know, anecdotal evidence.
I don't have any concrete evidence. No, I must admit, no.
Well, you know, anecdotal evidence, just pure observation, that weighs heavily, too, in people's decision. You know, I've learned just about every organization you can think of. In all the right-wing, so-called right-wing organizations, people, you know, our enemies call us right-wing, call us outright whatever. You name your organization. For instance, one that comes to mind is the CCC, the Campaign for Liberty. Excuse me, the Council of Conservative Citizens. There's a lot of many strikes against them. You know, and not punching to the right, for God's sake. But, you know, when Dylann Roof went in and shot up that all-black church, you know, the council, and I'm telling it like it is, I'm not punching to the right. But you know what? Sometimes we need to punch to the right with a baseball bat. The council folded like a wash rag. And I'm going to tell you what, I've heard people say, and one of my own co-hosts said, well, you know, Pappy, Dylann Roof did him in, bad publicity, this will happen to him. I said, no, that's not what killed the council. The lack of integrity and the lack of moral courage is what did the council in. That's why they're not any, that's not why they're any good now. They have no courage. The hierarchy of their bailed, man. They went, whenever, you know, the media started coming after them, they ran for the high grass. They tucked tail and ran. They should have stood their ground, and they should have got right when the news people got in the faces of our people. I say our people. Oh, thank you so much. Hey, Lee, guess what? We have a caller, Lee. We're going to go to our caller for a minute.
Okay.
Hello, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Yes, I just I wanted to bring something up. Y'all had James had a guy, Bill Johnson, on, Attorney Bill Johnson. And one of the main things he brought out is that nowadays that all the DA's, attorneys, they're so moronical that we're getting what we don't even stand a chance in any of these courts, especially in the big cities. There's also listen to Judge Dale that there's no right wingers can get into these appellate courts, and so that's standard policy. I just not even talk about being radical, but in the United States Code, 15 Alpha in 2002 is in the hard copy. It says the Lawyers Guild Communist Party, and the American Bar is a branch of the American Guild Communist Party, right out there in the open. They're brazen about it. And of course, we know that in Soviet Russia, all the land was stolen by the communist Jews by using the court. The judges would take property to be able to give it to the Communist Party. Say in Ukraine, with Dr. Pierce, we talked about that the ones that they went after, the KGB, the NKVD, and the Cheka would go after were the guys where the Jews didn't like them. They wouldn't give them their property for dirt cheap, in Germany, 68% of the lawyers are Jews, and so they tend to migrate to those types of positions of power, and they are heavily invested in here. It's like Johnson was saying it. And the federal, so, you know, like you say, we need some type of our own defense system, but don't think that we've got it on easy street. You know, that's how they took down Russia. They stole everything in Russia, and they went after Ukraine, and they over and over it's the same thing. They used the legal system. It's very corrupt. And, we're going to have to, man up to this. And I'll let you go with that. But, you know, I agree with you. You know, we need a system. And it's they are infiltrated. Well, of course, I can only talk about the education system systems of justice. They are heavily invested in all of that.
Patrick, before you go, let me ask you a question before you go, Patrick. What would you think would be the solution? Even a minor solution we could counteract the tyranny of the courts.
I like Sam Adams. He said that what we need is a woke society, and then to preserve our liberty.
Patrick, we hear the music. Thank you so much, Patrick. We're coming to the end of the hour. Thank you so much. Call in anytime you want to, Patrick. Thank you so much. Well, people, thank you, Lee, for coming on. Lee,
okay.
Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to go bring Gene Andrews on in the next, coming into the second hour. People, hold on to your seat. We're going to transition to the second hour with Gene Andrews. Thank you very much.